Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Folks, last night, Monday Night Raw, proved one thing, and that is that it is indeed the B-show. Currently, it is the B-show. Not to say that Raw was horrible or it was unwatchable. It's just that there isn't a ton of interest in the things that are going on there. And it's become extraordinarily repetitive. It's like living in Groundhog's Day. Every Monday you tune in, and every Monday you see Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. Every Monday you see some form of Lana being put through a table. Every Monday you see the Hurt Business in some form of either verbal or physical combat with Retribution. And it's getting stale. It's getting stale very quickly. And even the draft, which we thought was going to shake some things up, really didn't shake all that much up. So we start out with Randy Orton in the ring. And he is saying how he's going to fight Roman Reigns at the Survivor Series and basically saying he's the greatest champion of all time. Alexa Bliss comes down. She alludes to the fact that perhaps the Fiend is there or he's there. There's the lights flash and Randy Orton appears as though he's ready for the Fiend. And instead, Drew McIntyre comes out of nowhere with a Claymore kick. I don't know how many times is this? How many times is this that we've seen either Randy Orton hit Drew McIntyre with an RKO or Drew McIntyre hit Randy Orton with a Claymore kick? I stopped counting at like 10, but it happens again. And Drew McIntyre says he wants his rematch. Now, before we even get to what happens after this, this bothers me for one reason. Obviously, the Fiend wasn't there. And obviously, the Fiend had no intention to be there. So why was Alexa Bliss? Are you going to tell me that the Fiend and Alexa Bliss have decided to help Drew McIntyre get the belt back? That doesn't make any sense. So other than to just try to goad Randy Orton a little bit, which, you know, come on. At this stage of the game, you can't even properly build this up because you're just a couple weeks away from him fighting Roman Reigns. In a match, what's going to be very interesting to see who the crowd sides with, because to be very honest with you, both of them are obviously rule breakers. Obviously, the heels. I don't understand where this is coming from. But anyway, since it appears that Randy Orton is unconscious, The Miz comes down and says he's cashing in his briefcase, which leads to him being unceremoniously dumped over the top rope by Drew McIntyre. Apparently, the bell never rang, so he didn't cash in his belt. The Miz is angry and says Drew McIntyre took away his opportunity to be the champion. Drew McIntyre's time has passed. Morrison just backs him up on it because obviously Morrison has no plans of his own. Zero plans of his own. Doesn't want to be the champion. Doesn't necessarily want to compete one-on-one. Doesn't want to do much. He just wants to be the cheerleader for The Miz. And so it's announced a two-on-one handicap match. Drew McIntyre against The Miz and Morrison. Because nothing will keep you glued to the edge of your seat as a main event that doesn't mean a damn thing other than Randy Orton's going to attack. And if that's not bad enough, by the way, that everyone collectively watching that show, the moment it was announced that's the main event, said, oh, and Randy Orton's going to attack. A little later on, Randy Orton basically says, oh, I'm going to attack. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. This was a very lame opening. People are tired of Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. The Miz and Morrison are not getting over as legitimate threats to anybody's title, no matter what they want to do with them. They could give it to them, and they're still not going to get over as a legitimate champion. After the way you've handled the Miz at one time, yes, but not now. Not now, because you might as well give R-Truth the Money in the Bank briefcase, because it's about the same act. No one is taking this seriously, that the Miz is going to cash in successfully. No one. So I thought this was a very lame opening, Mike. I thought it was, you know, it reminded me of Groundhog's Day. I'm sitting there saying, did I not see all of this basically before?
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, it was a lame opening, and the fact of the matter is all the Money in the Bank is a plot, and is a plot device, number one. And number two, they never should have taken it away from Otis.
I agree with that. Look, fans thought, for better or for worse, I don't care if you like Otis or you hate him. For better or for worse, what the fans thought was the WWE is legitimately trying to build a new star. Not just give us the old ones, they're actually trying to build a new one. And whether you agreed with it or disagreed with it, you couldn't argue with, okay, they have to build new stars. No, that's not what they're doing. Let's give it to The Miz instead. Because he's so over as a championship quality wrestler at this stage. He's so over as a legitimate threat to win. And by the way, just to add a little illogical nonsense to it, why would Drew McIntyre, if he was a smart man, not just say, fine, go ahead and pin him, Miz, because the second you do, I demand a title shot. You're not beating me. It would be a hell of a lot easier to take it off the Miz. It's a real problem when it comes to Monday Night Raw specifically, and that is lack of logic and lack of actual detail. They just forget all about it. They're like, oh, who cares? Who cares if you think the Miz isn't worthy to hold the briefcase? Who cares? Who cares if it doesn't make any sense that Survivor Series teammates are going to have to fight each other tonight because we want to cause dissension in the ranks before we're going to go against SmackDown? Who cares? Makes no difference. It does make a difference, and wrestling fans see through this. And besides that, it's terribly repetitive, and it gets really, really dull after a while, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said, with Drew McIntyre, The Miz, and everybody in this Money in the Bank briefcase thing, like you said, we've already seen with The Miz as Money in the Bank. They should have kept it on Otis in the first place, shouldn't have took it off.
If you're going to build a star, I don't know why you did this, because you certainly didn't do it to feud with Tucker, did you? Now we know that much. Anyway, Elias and Jeff Hardy have a guitar and a pole match. We don't know any of the rules. I thought if you got the guitar, you won, like Money in the Bank. If you just grab the guitar, that's the win. But apparently it was no, if you grab the guitar, you get to use it. So here's why this is dumb. They use chairs all the time. They just slide out of the ring and grab a chair. So why are you trying desperately to prevent a guy from climbing up to get the guitar if you could just go get a chair? What's the difference? I'd rather be hit with a guitar than a chair. So if it doesn't end the match, it's ridiculous that you're trying to stop them. Just, okay, you're going up this way. I'll slide out of the ring and I'll grab a table, or I'll grab a kendo stick, or I'll grab a chair. Or I'll grab my own guitar that I got stashed underneath the ring. Nope. And Elias loses because of course he loses. Of course he loses. There's no branches on the tree to this story. Elias thinks Jeff Hardy hit him with a car because no one has told him any differently, and he was out for 7 months after having been hit with a car. That makes him the bad guy. I don't know in whose world that makes him the bad guy, but apparently that makes him the bad guy. Jeff Hardy isn't going out of his way to say, I didn't hit you with a car. He just said once, I didn't do it. Well, prove you didn't do it. I mean, the emphasis is on you, Jeff. You were accused of doing it. This man thinks you did. He has no other knowledge of it. Prove you didn't. No, instead I'll just beat him up. And that makes you the good guy. Okay. So he beats Elias. I have no idea what they're going to do with Elias from here. None whatsoever. I have no idea what they're going to do with Jeff Hardy. Again, it's just a storyline wasted. Here's a storyline you could have expanded upon, and you wasted it. Absolutely 100% wasted this storyline, Mike. So much more they could have said and done.
Right, and especially with what come up later with what happened later with the redhead and Sheamus, where, I mean, they obviously don't want Sheamus to be the guy that hit him with the car, right? That would be the obvious thing, right? Redhead that hit you with a car. You know, that'd be an obvious thing. I mean, unless they wanted to go with a woman, which wouldn't fit the storyline because the storyline was Sheamus, you know, was trying to do a heelish thing and all that stuff. So, but again, this is them dropping the ball, the WWE dropping the ball again.
It really is, because there's so much more you could do with this story. I mean, you could have made it a pretty compelling story in which you say, well, both guys are kind of right. I don't believe Jeff Hardy hit him with a car, but I understand why Elias thinks he did. And I wonder how they're going to resolve this. No, we'll just do it this way. Opening match for Raw. There's your big ending to the feud. The opening match for Raw is your big ending to the feud. Oh, they think a lot of that feud, huh? So we're going to take a break a minute from Raw to get to some news, because some news has broke, obviously. Kylie Rae has announced her retirement from wrestling. Now, this is a little bit sad for a couple of reasons. One, she kind of did this with AEW. She was in AEW, no-showed, got replaced, and kind of this left, ended up on Impact, no-showed, a pay-per-view. And now she basically hasn't really given any explanation. She's just said, I'm no longer a professional wrestler. I'm unwell. That's what she said. When people say they're unwell, that normally doesn't mean they have a sickness. She doesn't have COVID. She's not been diagnosed with anything deadly. I would imagine it's a mental health issue. And she said she's going to be taking some time for herself and not sure what she's going to be doing, but she currently isn't a professional wrestler. My thoughts on this is as follows. Just because you're good at something and just because you can do something probably doesn't mean you should. You should only do it if you love it and you physically feel you are okay doing it. She's one of those people. Not everyone can do wrestling. You know, physically she might be able to do it, but mentally maybe she cannot. Maybe she just can't handle the strain, the stress, the whatever it happens to be. Not everyone can. That's why not everyone who loves wrestling is a professional wrestler. So we wish her the best, but at the same time, you know, you've done this twice. And I would strongly recommend you think twice, even after you get better, about doing it again. Because there's obviously something about it that triggers you, and it's probably not for you. As much as you're good at it, it's probably not for you. I know people who are fantastic singers, and I tell them all the time, you should really attempt to do something with that. I can't because I could never get out in front of an audience and do it. I can never do it in front of more than 3 or 4 people. Okay, well, then it's not for you. You can do it, but it's not for you. So I don't know what her problem is, but she's apparently no longer in the business. The next thing to talk about is Paige has openly defied Vince McMahon's edict and said, I am not erasing my Twitch channel. I'm keeping my Twitch channel. F you. Now she knows she's going to be fired. Or fined, or whatever happens to be. She doesn't care. That's what she wants, actually. She's already said she's tired of working with the WWE. She doesn't feel that they respect her. She doesn't feel like they're listening to her, or whatever it happens to be. So she's just decided, hey, I have nothing to lose. Fire me. I'm keeping my Twitch channel. Fire me. If you find me, I'm not paying it. They'll take it out of her pay, so she will be paying it. But what she hopes is that they'll say, no, you're released. And they might. They're going to have to send a message to the rest of the crew. Otherwise, why does anybody delete their Twitch channel? If Paige can do it, how come AJ can't do it? If Paige can do it, how come Zelina Vega and Aleister Black can't do it? So we'll see what happens with Paige openly defying the WWE's ruling that their wrestlers have to delete their Twitch accounts. Now, somebody else who's found a little bit different system is Zelina Vega, who said, okay, I don't have my Twitch account anymore, but I now have something called UFAN. UFAN, for the benefit of people who don't know, and I didn't until I researched it a little bit, is really sort of like a porn site. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's kind of what it is. It's like a site where people sell naked pictures of themselves and things. Well, she's selling pictures. They're not naked. She's selling what she calls cosplay pictures. Most of them are in bikinis or revealing outfits. And she's literally charging hundreds of dollars for a picture. A picture. Now, God bless her, if she can get it. God bless her. But I don't see how this is any different. Vince McMahon's not going to let this happen either. He's going to say the same thing. He's going to say, well, you've used your real name. It doesn't matter. The only reason anybody would pay that much for a picture of you is because you're a WWE superstar, not because you're you. Because there are a lot of beautiful girls, and I got news for you. Ain't nobody paying no $200 to see him in a bikini. So Vince would be right. So I don't know where this is going to go, folks. I do know that it seems like defiance is the word of the day here, and people are just going to try their hardest to defy the system. And I don't think that's going to bode very well for their careers. Paige really doesn't have one. Doesn't matter. Zelina Vega is about not to have one. And if Zelina Vega thinks, as pretty as she is, and she's a very beautiful woman, if Zelina Vega thinks for one moment that if she is dumped from the WWE roster, that she is going to go on UFAN and be so admired by people that they're going to give her $200 for a single picture of herself, you're on drugs. Okay? It's not happening. But this just goes to what I've been saying for a long time, Mike, and that is, a lot of these wrestlers have this very elitist attitude of like, you know, CM Punk, I could walk out of here and go to UFC and be the champion. Yeah. And we saw what happened. Oh, I could make money being a video game player on Twitch. Yeah. And then you signed with AEW because you couldn't make no money. I could be a fashion, I could be a model and men will just throw money at me. Yeah. And as soon as you're done with the WWE, they're going to say, who's that girl? There's this weird thing going on with WWE workers, Mike, that they somehow feel entitled. I don't understand it.
You're right, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, I'm trying to remember which one was it. I think McFoley's daughter wanted to be a model, and the modeling agent said, your best chance at being a model is to try to get into the WWE and go at it that way, you know, because it would build your name and all that stuff. So,
right.
So there, so then there's that. And this thing, as far as Zelina Vega goes, I mean, she's getting it, but, and, you know, I don't know what's going to, I don't know how strong her relationship is with Aleister Black, but if he's, if she's going to do it, then he's going to try and maybe do it. I don't know with this whole thing. So I don't know what's going to happen with those two. Now, Paige, I get it. You're not being used. You know, you shouldn't be doing it. It's a rule. You're breaking a rule. You want to get fired because you're not getting used and you're not, they're not even allowing you to be thrown over the top rope in a battle royal. I mean,
right.
that don't even take anything, right? I mean, you were in the sport. It doesn't, it's not taxing
not much.
Or anything. To,
no,
you know,
no.
So,
I mean, yeah, if you're going to get thrown completely over, but just to go lightly over, no, it doesn't.
No, and they're not even allowing her to do that. I mean, yeah, you don't want her again in a match against, let's say, Nia Jax, who's been proven over and over and over again to be unsafe.
Right.
But there are other people you can put her against. I mean, you could put her against, you know, Natty. You know, you could put her against any number of people who don't have that reputation and tell her, you know, you can do some stuff. And but they don't want to even do that. And I get why she wants to be fired, because if you're not going to use me in that way, even as a manager, if you're not going to use me, then fire me. I mean, we said it before, that movie that had her in it, that The Rock produced, I guess.
Right.
We all thought that once all the hubbub about that movie was gonna go away, then that's when the WWE was gonna kind of get rid of her. You know, well, they did.
See, what I would do with Paige, Mike, is I guess what I would have done if I was Vince is I would have said, if you're an in-ring talent or on-screen talent, if you're being used, whether you're a manager or whether you're actually wrestling, or you're an announcer, if you're on our product, you can't have a separate Twitch account. If you aren't on our product, but you're being used as an ambassador, you know, we send you places to, you know, plug stuff or whatever, you can have your own Twitch account. But if we recall you, if we say, Paige, we want you to manage a tag team again, then you got to end it. Then I could see that being okay. Because Paige has a point. She's not being used in any other way. But she's still being paid. See, that's the thing. She's still being paid. And she still accepted the contract. Now, they've changed that because they didn't write anything about Twitch in it. Twitch didn't exist when she signed her contract, as far as I know. But she still has to go by their rules. And if their rules are no outward making of money under your, you know, wrestling persona, yeah, I don't understand what the problem is. Vince could have been a little more diplomatic and said, in Paige's case, or anyone who goes out with injury or isn't going to be used for an extensive period of time, you have our blessing. But if we recall you, then you're going to have to end it, share your revenue with us, or whatever it happens to be. But again, I reiterate, it's all about money. Zelina Vega's not saying, hey, I'm going on UFAN and you guys can all follow me, like, for instance, Asuka's doing. If you want to go watch Asuka play a video game or set up her exercise equipment or go to a restaurant and eat, she doesn't ask you for any money. She says, just subscribe to my channel. Now, maybe she's making some money off YouTube with clicks. I don't know, but it's free for you. So there's the difference. Asuka's saying, if you want to, you know, check in on my life outside the ring, here it is. It's free. Zelina Vega's saying, if you want to see me in just slightly less than I wear during Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, whichever one she's on now, give me $200. I'm sorry to tell you, I don't know the man who's going to give Zelina Vega $200 for a picture of herself in a bathing suit, Todd. I'm sorry. I just don't know anybody that would.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said, some people are not going to pay that kind of money to see her in a bathing suit and everything. That that adult site. Never heard of
Yeah, you fan. No, you fan. I don't know. Yeah, you fan. I hadn't heard of it either, but, I mean, there's some raunchy stuff on there, too. I don't even know. See, here's the thing. The WWE could argue, look, that site has a lot of extremely raunchy stuff on it. We don't want you associated with a site like that. Now, there are other things besides that on there. It's not the only thing, but it's a good portion of it, put it that way. And the WWE could say that. They could say there's a morals clause, and even though you're doing nothing wrong, you're just selling bikini pictures like a model, there's a stigma attached to that site, and we don't want our people participating in it. And I'm sorry to tell you, that would be fair. So we'll see what's happening, because that war is continuing. Anyway, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler go against their Survivor Series teammates, of all things. I just cannot figure out why. For the life of me, I cannot figure out why. You would think that you would want them to have unity. You would think that there would be some kind of a thing where they're saying, look, the main thing is to beat SmackDown. The main thing is for us to gel. No, let's have a match. And for the tag team championship, by the way, let's have that, because that'll be such a great camaraderie builder, right? Lana interferes because she's mad, I guess, at Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler for being put through a table 175 straight times. And inadvertently costs Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose when it looked like they could potentially win. This made Nia Jax irate, and she promises to end Lana's career by the end of the night. Mike, the minute I saw this, I said, this is a train wreck and a disaster, and it's going nowhere. Lana's not going to beat Nia Jax before Survivor Series. She's going to get put through another table. They may even take her out of the Survivor Series team. I don't know what the hell's going on here.
I don't know what the hell is going on here as well. And I mean, it all, I mean, to me, it smacks. They keep doing it over and over and over again. All I can think of is punishment. You know, they tried to cover that up by saying, well, we have big plans for Lana, you know, as a face. But, I mean, you're doing the same thing over. It gets tiring. It gets boring, you know. It's even worse than the whole Bobby Lashley angle, you know.
I really think it is. And I don't know what the hell this has to do with the Survivor Series. I mean, if I'm Vince or I'm Bruce Pritchard or I'm whoever that's trying to promote this, you would assume, Mike, that they would want this to be like a bragging rights thing. We need to beat SmackDown. We need to put our personal differences aside. No, it's let's put them at each other's throats so everybody implodes. They didn't do it once. They did it twice in this episode. Twice. And for the life of me, I don't know why they think that adds extra interest. I guess they think we're all going to say, oh, we got to watch the Survivor Series. These teams are going to implode. Uh-uh. The reason people want to watch the Survivor Series, I assume, is to see who's going to get the bragging rights. If the athletes themselves do not take it seriously that they want to win, why should the fans? If the athletes themselves are saying, yeah, it's not important, what's important is I hate this person, and I need to get even with this person, or I want the tag team belts, or, okay, then don't have the Survivor Series, because the important thing is supposed to be put all of our differences aside for one night. Our brand has to win. No, they didn't do that at all. It's pathetic. And it makes my interest for the Survivor Series a hell of a lot less than it was. Bobby Lashley defeats R-Truth. Why? Why did this match exist? So Drew Gulick can get the belt, or you can... Even the Hurt Business, who's usually the best thing on the show, was used very poorly this week. Even though they beat New Day later on, they're still used poorly. Bobby Lashley was shown as not a team player. He leaves. He doesn't even stick around like everybody always does for the Hurt Business's matches. Nobody came out with Bobby Lashley when he fought R-Truth. It was very weird. Very weird. Then we get to this AJ Styles thing where AJ comes out and at least does the right thing. Says, look, I'm the team captain. We need to win. Put all my differences aside. We got Sheamus. We've got Keith Lee. This is a great start. Look at our team. You got me as the leader. You got Sheamus with all of his titles that he's held throughout the years. You got this up-and-coming monster in Keith Lee. And right away it becomes a bickering match of, well, you're not the captain. Well, here's the problem. You want AJ to appear to be an egotistical glory hog who has appointed himself the captain and said, to hell with the rest of you. That's what you want. However, when you have Sheamus come out, who has done nothing recently except lose matches to Jeff Hardy and Braun Strowman, he doesn't deserve to be the captain. Why would he be the captain? And for Keith Lee to say he should be the captain is absurd. He's the new guy in the locker room. So, of course, out of those three people, AJ Styles would be the captain. You're going to tell me Sheamus accomplished more in his career than AJ Styles? No. And Keith Lee, well, he's a newcomer, so he looks like a dick. Now, all of a sudden, he looks like a dick. I should be the captain. Why should you be the captain? Based on what? Then Braun Strowman comes out. And obviously, he's told, well, you have to earn a spot. Then we get Adam Pearce come out and say, well, I can't find anybody to fight him. You can't find anybody to fight Braun Strowman. Well, then why is he on the roster? Why is he on the roster? If everybody says, I absolutely refuse to face Braun Strowman, okay. Well, then fire him. What good is he to you? I mean, what kind of an absurd thing is that to say? So you're going to tell the audience that qualified people who may be Survivor Series team members, not jabrons, because a jabron wouldn't be in a qualifying match for a Survivor Series. You're telling me that qualified professional wrestlers who are hoping to be in a Survivor Series team are afraid of Braun Strowman. Won't fight him. Wow. What does that say about your roster? I mean, Mike, that was probably the dumbest thing I have ever seen anybody do, because all they did was undermine their roster as a bunch of filthy cowards who don't want to fight a guy who plenty of people have beaten.
Right, and I guarantee you this. Watch SmackDown on Friday night. They're not going to do this to their Survivor Series team. They're not going to do this to whoever is leading their Survivor Series team. I guarantee it. You know, to use Vince's famous words, I guarantee it. You know,
no, they're not going to. You're right.
Look, you're right about AJ Styles. That's his gimmick now. I mean, he's all this, that, and the other, and he's, you know, he's got this guy behind him that's a big guy that we haven't seen in the ring yet, but he will get in the ring at some point. But he's overconfident because he's got his backup with him, you know.
I agree. See, the way I would have handled this is I would have had AJ declare himself the captain. Sheamus has a bone to pick. He could say, I've been around WWE longer than you, and I've held more titles here, at least, than you have, and I don't see what makes you think you're the captain. Keith Lee should have been like, well, I don't really care which one of the two of you is the captain. I know it can't be me because I'm the new kid on the block. I just want our brand to win. So, you know, you guys figure it out between yourselves. Leave me out of it. No, they got to make him look like a schmuck too. And then what's worse, they got to make the rest of the locker room look like cowards. No one wants to fight Braun Strowman. Really? Wow. Well, that sucks for you, doesn't it? You got a very, very bad locker room then, don't you? So AJ's on commentary. The only good thing about it was his facial expressions were funny. Keith Lee does that flying flip outside the ring, but man, he hasn't done it in so long. He barely cleared it, and his head hit the outside part of the ring skirt, which really worried me, but I guess he's okay. Why you'd have these guys at each other's throats, I don't know, but at least at the end of the match, which Sheamus loses to Braun Strowman, meaning Braun Strowman's on the team, Strowman says the right thing. Now, I thought you just made Strowman a heel. I thought Strowman had turned heel. And Strowman says, look, I know you hate me and I hate you, to Keith Lee, but shake my hand and let's win this for our team, because that's what the important thing is. He's absolutely right. Why are you having the bad guy do that? Why wouldn't Keith Lee do that? Can you explain to me on what planet you're living on that you're having the heel do that? It's unbelievable. Wouldn't you want Keith Lee to be the guy that you say, look, he's the newcomer here, but he's got the coolest head, man. He's trying to get the team together. He's trying to make peace, and look at these idiots. No! Now, granted, Braun Strowman attacks him and gets, you know, but the bottom line is, it shouldn't have happened that way. Shouldn't have happened that way. You know what the real interest would have been? The real interest would have been if Braun Strowman literally said, I want to win this. It's important I win this. I just come over from that brand. I want to, you know, this is the brand I want to be on, and I want our superiority to be here. Same way with AJ Styles saying, I was just traded over here, man. You know, SmackDown let me go. SmackDown told me hit the bricks. Well, that's what they told Braun Strowman, too. That's what they told you too, Sheamus, right? All three of us were booted off SmackDown to come here and represent Raw, and we can't let them win. That would have been interesting, because I'd say that's a very good point. All three of you were released from SmackDown to come to Raw. So that's a very interesting point. Nope. Can't have that. So they battle and fight, and oh, God. Does anybody really care at that point? You know, what are we doing? What are we doing? It just seemed kind of self-destructive, Todd, and it made me think the Survivor Series is just going to be a mess.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about the Survivor Series and everything. And I remember back in the day with the Survivor Series, everybody got along as a cohesive unit on teams. And now these days with the Survivor Series pay-per-views with teams, now you got big egos on each other's going down each other's throats, as not cohesive as a unit. It's just messed up right now.
Now what happened next, Mike, has confused some people, and I didn't get a chance to go back and watch it. But here's my take on it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you watched it and you saw something different. I had people write to me and say, Angel Garza did this thing where he's basically talking to all the women in the audience. And I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think he's talking to all the women in the audience. I think he's talking to one specific person who we don't know who it is yet. And that'll probably be revealed. And he's saying you can't be here, which means they might be on SmackDown. That's what I took away from it. I didn't take away from it that they were saying, oh, Angel Garza is romancing all the women out there in TV land. That wasn't my takeaway from it. I thought he was talking to one specific person who we can't see, and she's not there. That, at least that's what I thought. What was your take on it?
Yeah, I think if it's not on SmackDown, if it's not somebody on SmackDown, it could be somebody on NXT.
Right.
You know, either or. You know, that's not somebody that's not up yet from NXT, or somebody that is on SmackDown. You know, that's on the other brand. Now, who that might be, I agree with you. It's one particular person, because really, if you look at all his interactions so far, it's been with one particular person at a given time. If it's
right.
Charlie Caruso, or if it's that woman from The Bachelorette, or whatever it was, it's one person. All right.
Yep.
You know, he choose one person when they still had audiences. He choose one person and give them the rose or do whatever with it. One person. So it's got to be that. It's got to be one specific person, you know, that he's talking to.
I agree with that. I think this is the beginning of some kind of angle. I don't know whether it's going to be a girl who's already taken or something. I don't know. But I think there's an angle there, and it's not just him addressing the females in the audience. I know a lot of people took it that way, which means that segment failed. If it didn't get across the way it's supposed to, then it failed. But that's what I took from it. It's one person. We over to the Firefly Funhouse, which is one of the only, listen, this, I'm not going to lie to you, the Fiend character is starting to cool off a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see if it can remain hot. But there's always at least one or two good things going on in this Funhouse segment. And this one really kind of caught me by surprise when the Sister Abigail puppet basically says Randy Orton can go fuck himself. And then they bleep the word out and they say, oh, you gotta put a dime. You gotta put a dime in the swear jar. And they show the swear jar and there's like $150 in it. So if you gotta put a dime in every time you swear, well, somebody been doing a whole lot of swearing, because there's like $150 in the jar. So I thought that was kind of funny. And then when Alexa Bliss said, you're not supposed to use that kind of language, the puppet says, you can go fuck yourself too, which I thought that was funny too. Again, Bray Wyatt's a great actor. He can pull all this stuff off. Alexa Bliss is less of a great actress, but she's okay. And she's able to pull off most of this. I don't know what the deal is with the tongue thing. I don't know if I like it. I liked the fact that The Fiend and Bray Wyatt specifically got into the head of Alexa Bliss and made her a follower who now sees things his way. Making her supernatural, I'm not 100% sure I like that at all. I think you might be dropping the ball with this, because now you're going to make it silly. And if you make The Fiend silly, again, you're going in the wrong direction. The Fiend isn't supposed to be supernatural. I don't know why Bray Wyatt cannot march into Vince McMahon's office or the writer's office and say, do you understand what this character's supposed to be? It's not supposed to be a demon from hell. It's not supposed to be some weird entity from another planet. It's supposed to be the persona I take on when my violence and anger reaches a boiling point and I can no longer take it and I have to release it. That's what it's supposed to be. I'm just like Bray Wyatt. They never got Bray Wyatt. They thought, well, he's supposed to be some kind of a demonic force. No, he's supposed to be a cult leader. You never got that. Well, now you're not getting that the Fiend is the manifestation of all of Bray Wyatt's rage, because he's withholding it. He's suppressing it in public to be this lovable character. You don't get it. So why are we making Alexa Bliss some sort of a netherworldly creature? I just don't get that. And I think it's going to hurt the character. You keep doing this. You keep trying to make him something he's not. So I don't know, Todd, what'd you think of the Alexa Bliss thing? I'm a little doubtful of it.
I agree with you on that one too, with Alexa Bliss, with that creature thingy. It just was, I don't think it's working out for me on that.
I don't like it because I think, Mike, they're missing the point, again, of who Bray Wyatt's character is supposed to be.
Yeah, I think they're missing the point. And they're also missing, I think they're also missing the point on what Alexa Bliss's character is supposed to be, you know? You know, and that's a bad thing. But there were a lot of good things that came out of this. I mean reference to Randy Orton burning down the compound.
Right.
Was great. You know.
Yeah, there were some good segments. I hope they don't start making this a silly thing where anybody that comes into contact with the Fiend for a long period of time becomes this demonic. Later on when they did the thing with Nikki Cross, I'm saying to myself, this could be a huge mistake. Now, are they trying to say that Sister Abigail has possessed her? Maybe that's what they're trying to say. But if they are trying to say that, doing a lousy job, because Bray Wyatt looked shocked instead of happy, and you'd think he'd look happy. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for this Alexa Bliss. We'll see. Anyway, Nia Jax versus Lana. I don't know what to tell you. Did anyone want to see this match? I kept thinking to myself, well, there's no way. Lana gave this empowered speech saying no one will ever treat me like this again. She'll never put me through a table again. And I'm saying to myself, there's got to be an ace in a hole. There either has to be that she's got some backup or something's going to happen because she can't get squashed again after giving this speech. Somehow Nia Jax is going through that table. Something's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. No, nothing happens. Nia Jax squashes her in about, I don't know, a minute and a half, and puts her through the table. Okay. And this serves what purpose? I know. We're trying to make Lana a sympathetic character. Vince has to understand the difference between sympathetic and hopeless. A hopeless character is not a sympathetic character. Daniel Bryan is a sympathetic character when he's going up against the Authority, and you say Daniel Bryan has all the talent in the world, but they're holding him back. They're purposely making the odds so he can't win, despite the fact that he's better than usually the people he's fighting. That doesn't make him hopeless. That makes him outnumbered and an underdog. When you make someone hopeless, they can't fight back, even when the odds are one-on-one. That doesn't make them a sympathetic character. That just makes them hopeless, and you say, oh, God, why does this person keep trying? They suck. That's not what you want. That's not what you want at all. So if that's what they're trying to do, Mike, they're failing with this miserably.
They're failing with this miserably, and hell, I mean, did you see where Miro spoke up about it, about what was going on? And
yeah.
He didn't have too many good things to say about it, you know? And he's right.
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. So next up, the Hurt Business comes out and basically declare that they got rid of Retribution. And because they got rid of Retribution and they held up their side of the deal that they want the gold now, so that gold means they want the tag team belts. You know, MVP was smart enough. He's a very clever guy. He was smart enough to say, we want the gold, even though those belts aren't gold, because he knew someone was going to say, that ain't gold. That's so dumb. You said it was gold. The belts aren't gold. So he mentioned it first. He said, they're not gold, but to us, they represent gold. Good move. He's still great on the mic. Even Xavier Woods acknowledged it and said, one of the best guys on the mic I ever heard. However, this without Bobby Lashley staying at ringside, this made them not look like a unified group, especially when Xavier Woods made those comments about Lana saying he couldn't last him but a couple seconds. And the Hurt Business wins clean. Now, the New Day just came over here without Big E, and, you know, the gimmick is how will they do without their partner. Well, this would have been the perfect time, would it not, for them to say, see, this wouldn't have happened if Big E was here because he would have negated Bobby Lashley. Lashley should have been the one to interfere and cost them that match so the New Day's fans could rightfully say, see, they don't have that third guy to watch out like they did before. So there's going to be a problem. No, instead they just lost. They just lost. That'll be an interesting feud, and yeah, and it was definitely the best match of the night. But you know what I'm saying, Mike? I would have thought you'd want to utilize Lashley in this spot.
You know, that's the case, and that's the thing. I just don't get it. And look, we were saying a couple weeks ago that this could have been, with one more addition, the Black Four Horsemen, you know?
Yep.
I mean, if you really look at it, when they were going great guns, and they were, you had Lashley, you had a freshly turned Cedric Alexander, and you had our boy Shelton. And it was good. And at one point, we thought that we're going to add maybe a Titus O'Neil. But they kind of poo-pooed that, but that would have been a great ad for them. But again, they're slowly but surely messing up one of the great things that's going on Raw right now.
They really are, and I'm sad to see it because this really is one of the better things going on Raw. It's one of the reasons I tune in. I'm interested in what the Hurt Business is doing and what MVP's saying. This week, I thought it was lame. And to add insult to injury, usually what MVP says turns out to some extent to be true. In other words, he puts his money where his mouth is. He's not one of these guys who says, we're better than everybody, and then he never wins. They do a lot of winning. Or we're going to do this, and then they don't do it. No, they do what they say. They came out and confronted like 10 or 12 Retribution members when they said they were going to do it. So MVP has the reputation of, if I say it, I'm doing it. So what do? He says, yeah, we rid the WWE of Retribution. The very next match, Retribution shows up. Very next match. Ricochet versus Tucker. Oh, aren't you so glad that Tucker turned on Otis? Oh, what a great feud we're going to have between former tag team partners and best friends, huh? He can't even last 2 seconds in the ring with Ricochet, who himself is being used as a lower mid-carder. Just gets annihilated by Ricochet. There goes that guy's career. There's not going to be a match with Tucker and Otis, I doubt. And if there is, who the hell cares? And then Ali brings in the troops, and they all beat up Tucker. For what reason? I have no goddamn idea. I thought Tucker was a heel. People are like, good, he deserves to be beaten up. Turned on his friend. He's an idiot. Then Ricochet, for whatever reason, gets thrown back into the ring, and they beat him up too. There's no rhyme or reason. See, the problem with Retribution is there is absolutely zero motivation. If anyone in the world should have sided with Tucker, it would have been Retribution, who said, you were absolutely correct. You were misused and handled poorly in this federation and never given a fair chance because Otis hogged all the glory. You're like one of us. We were never given chances, just like you were never given chances. Now they're beating up the guys who were never given chances. Are you kidding? So what's their motivation for beating up undercard guys? I thought they were sticking up for the undercard guys. Oh, and by the way, I thought the Hurt Business rid themselves of them, but the Hurt Business did not come down. This was wrong on every count there possibly could be, Mike.
It really was. I mean, to me, it would have made more sense if they said, this match is nothing. Well, if they said, look, like you said, this is this. Well, since you haven't been given a fair shot, how about you come with us, you know? And, yeah, you don't want to see that group grow, but it would have made sense.
Of course. Even if he turned it down, or even if whatever it happened to be, Their whole motivation for what they're saying anyway is that we are for the people who were never given a fair shake in the WWE, who were just tossed under the bus. Well, Ricochet and Tucker fit that mode at this point. So why in the blue hell would you be attacking them? Nobody knows. They don't even care. There's no writer saying, well, this is the long-term plan. We're going to reveal that what their real motivation is what? First it was, we weren't hired by the WWE. Then you hired them. Then it was, and then you revealed their leader was a guy who was hired by the WWE. Then their motivation is, well, we're sticking up for these undercarders who never get a chance. We were never given a fair chance, and we weren't, we were always the forgotten. And then you beat up the ones who were forgotten and not given a fair shake. You have no motivation, zero, to be a group. None. So that's why no one's taking it seriously. No one is. And it's a shame. Now, one of the best things that happened last night happened backstage where Sheamus runs into Drew McIntyre. And even though Sheamus is a heel and McIntyre is a face, they're apparently friends. They used to be tag team partners ages ago. And he says, you really should be on the Survivor Series team. You really should be. You should be the captain. And with us back together, the other team doesn't stand a chance. And McIntyre says, look, I would love to do it. But I've got my sights set on Randy Orton right now. And Sheamus, who I thought was going to take the umbrage with this and say, oh, I see, you're Mr. Big Shot. You're too big for us now. You're too big for your old partner. Did not do that. He said, no, I understand. You go out there and take care of the Miz and Morrison. But keep the offer on the table. And I'm saying to myself, this is very interesting. I think Drew McIntyre is going to end up on this team. I really do. He can't fight Randy Orton at Survivor Series because Randy Orton's fighting Roman Reigns. So I think Drew McIntyre is going to end up on this team. And that's a damn interesting team then. And I thought that it was a stroke of genius, really, to use Sheamus in that way, because it shows one thing. Not every heel hates every face. There is history between some people that goes a little bit deeper than what side you're on right now. And I thought, Mike, this was actually the most interesting thing that happened in the entire show.
It really was. And to tell you the truth, I didn't know they had that much history between them,
Right.
Fact of the matter is apparently they do, and that'd be an interesting with their history. That would be. I know Sheamus is a heel. That would be an interesting tag team, but also that would make an interesting feud. In terms of let's just say they get them together as a tag team, and then all of a sudden they break up, and you could have a very hot feud for a short period of time until it's time for Drew McIntyre to get back into, because we know Sheamus, this is basically his retirement tour, in terms of his career. This is his late in his career. We know about his injuries and stuff like that, and that type of thing. Whereas Drew McIntyre is Drew McIntyre is going to be around a while. So you could actually have a very short-term feud with these guys, and it'd be a very interesting feud, very interesting series of matches,
Yeah, or it could be your way that you just turn Sheamus face for his final run, because what better than to recall an early, early, early tag team partner that helped you in the business and all that kind of stuff. And you're sitting there, I was sitting there saying, this really feels like they're talking to each other. Like we just caught them in a conversation they would actually have with no camera. And that doesn't happen very much in the WWE. It always feels forced. This one did not feel forced. I mean, it was almost like Sheamus was totally like out of character. And Drew McIntyre was pretty much out of character. And I think the WWE needs to do a lot more of that, Todd, because that caught my attention.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like you said, with that conversation with Drew McIntyre and Sheamus,
that looks like it was a real conversation right there. Or like the cameras like coming up to him and without them knowing the cameras were like up behind him. And you know, like you said, you could see Sheamus be like a face at the end of his career, and I think that'd be a good idea for him and McIntyre. If not a team, maybe a feud against one another.
Yeah, you have a couple of branches you could go with on the tree, but again, this is what the WWE needs to do more of. I'm listening to this, and I'm buying like it's a real conversation instead of it's a wrestling hype. And I really like that. And it also included, like, if you knew their history, they didn't automatically assume, oh, fans don't know. Some fans do know. Other fans are going to say, I didn't know, and they're going to go research it and say, oh, that's cool. So in a way, it's giving the fans information. And it's playing to the fans who already knew and saying, we're not forgetting their past, like they always do. So I really did enjoy that little spot. I know it's a small point, but I enjoyed that. Drew McIntyre takes on Morrison and The Miz. Look, Morrison and The Miz did as good as they could. They are underrated, both of them. I don't, maybe Morrison's not that underrated because everyone knows he's a great wrestler. A lot of people don't think The Miz is. I do. I really do. He'd be one of my top guys. If I started a federation, he'd be one of my top guys I'd want to pick because he's great on the mic. He can put on a really good match. He can sell a feud. He can be a face. He can be a heel. He has a lot of ability. But the way they're currently being booked, this is ridiculous. They're like a comedy tag team. Drew McIntyre beat the hell out of both of these guys. Yes, they got in their licks, but so what? This is your Money in the Bank briefcase holder. And with his tag team partner, he can't beat a legitimate contender for the belt. And then, oh, surprise, surprise, Randy Orton attacks. And it's an RKO, followed by the Fiend laughing. I don't like this Fiend thing. I'm telling you right now, and I'm a big Bray Wyatt fan, I'm starting not to like it. Because the Fiend should not be overseeing what Drew McIntyre does. He should only be focusing on Randy Orton. If he wants revenge on Randy Orton, the belt should be inconsequential. Shouldn't matter at all. It's all about you burnt down the house and we're seeking revenge. Not we want the belt. So, you know, what was this show? Well, it felt like a really low average. I mean, if you want to compare it to Raw, other Raws, it was okay. But if you compare it to SmackDown, it's not close. So how do you rate this? Do you rate it on a Raw scale, which is a low expectation scale? If you rate it on a Raw scale of low expectation, it's probably a C+. But if you rate it on the scale of, well, how does it compare to SmackDown? It's probably a D. Because you kind of made the Survivor Series less interesting. There was a lot of illogical things going on. The timing of your show was weird. We're doing the segments in order. Hurt Business, you go out and say you have vanquished Retribution from the WWE, and then the very next segment, Retribution showing up, rather than to have it be in the beginning of the show and toward the end of the show. No, the very next segment, which makes them out to be idiots and liars. And by the way, you didn't complete the job until they're gone, so why didn't you come down and help Tucker and Ricochet? How do you figure that completed the job? They're still here. So there's a lot of illogical things. So I'm going to rate it on the Raw scale, and I'll give it a C+. But I'm telling you right now, if this is the standard, if this is the average that Raw can do, fans are going to drop away from this, Mike, because it's just not all that interesting.
Right, and look, I'm not going to be as generous, you know, and I'm going to give it a D+, you know.
I don't blame you.
You know, I mean, there are some good things. I like some of the stuff that happened in the Funhouse. I like the interaction between McIntyre and Sheamus. I even like the interaction between Alexa Bliss and and Nikki Cross, you know. There are some things that I like. I like, of course, the I don't want to say the perfection, but the near perfection on the mic that is MVP, you know.
I mean, yeah.
There's some positive things, but there just aren't enough of them, you know, to drag it above the seat, you know.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It's very tough to... For Raw, you know, it was okay, but it's not good enough. It's not compelling. It's not compelling television. SmackDown this week was compelling television. This fell very short. Oh, and by the way, we should mention, forgot to mention earlier in the news, Allison Kay from the NWA, she's a free agent. So while Billy Corgan is still holding, I guess Thunder Rosa has said, I really am under contract for a year and I can't do anything. Billy, why don't you be a sport and let her out? She's doing nothing. Okay? Women have a much shorter career in this sport than men. If you're going to do nothing with her at all, and you have no NWA, let her out of the damn contract. But Allison Kay's a free agent. Expect her to show up somewhere. She's talented. Todd, what's your rating this week for Raw?
I gotta go with the same grade with you. The same exact grade.
So we're doing, C's and D's here, folks. Look, the two best segments is Sheamus and Drew McIntyre talking like real people and former friends, or still friends, and probably... the puppet telling Randy Orton to go fuck himself, which was unexpected and very funny. And the little subtle thing of put a dime in the jar, and then you see there's like $150 in the jar, and you say, okay, well, at a dime a swear, there's an awful lot of swearing going on in this funhouse. Most people didn't catch that. So there's always a little subtle stuff in the funhouse that I like. But again, I'm worried about the Alexa Bliss thing. I'm worried about where that's going. I'm worried about the Hurt Business because they're starting to make them eh. I'm a little worried about what's going to happen on Raw. And you've lost a lot of your star power. I'm not going to lie to you, Raw. You've lost a lot of your star power. You got AJ Styles. But past AJ Styles and Drew McIntyre, I know you got the New Day over there. It's not the same. It's not the same without all three of them. And I'm starting to see you might have a little bit of trouble drawing fans with just who you have. We'll see what happens when the ratings come out. I'll be very, very interested. If you have not already done so, folks, go out and vote. Go out and vote. It's a crucially important part of our freedom. And we will be back here on Friday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.